gospel according to Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Hear the word of God. Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Almighty God, be present with us in the preaching of your word, that we may hear among these words and our reflections your word offered to us this day. Amen. The best boss I ever had was named Patsy Challenger. I worked for her during the summer while I was home from college. She was the director of public relations at Emory and Henry College, and she hired me as an assistant in that office. At first, I just did a lot of copying and sorting, putting labels on the college magazines as they were getting ready to be mailed out, and delivering envelopes to other offices on campus. But then, Patsy started training me to write press releases, to do editing. And later, I even got to conduct my own interviews and do my own stories for the college magazine. What I liked about Patsy was that she took a real interest in me. And as I was assigned more increasingly complex tasks, she didn't just throw them on me and tell me to get them done. We started out small. And she offered feedback and suggestions as we went along. And she treated me as a valued colleague, even though I was just a college student. The worst boss I ever had was one I also had that same summer. My job in the public relations office was just part-time, and I needed something more, so I took on the job of window usher at the college. To be honest, I don't even know who my boss was. I don't really have a memory of him or her. All I remember is being handed a spray bottle and a roll of paper towels and being turned loose with a few other folks in the college dorms. I wasn't given any training. My work was never evaluated. Me and my coworkers got a little lazy, stopping as we went along to catch up on the latest soaps on television, or just sitting around. What makes someone a good boss? Today's Jesus story is about a boss, visible. It's in the usual way that we think about this story. He kind of pushes our buttons. Because think about what's happening here. A landowner is hiring workers for his vineyard. This kind of day labor hiring still goes on today. I'm not familiar with where the hiring spots are in our area, but there's probably a place or two where people looking for a job, usually in agriculture or in construction, go to congregate, and where folks who need workers go to find the hands that they need. So we can probably kind of get a picture of this scene. And at first, everything seems pretty normal. Boss gets there early in the morning, picks up his first crew. Before they set out, they negotiate the terms of their contract, and it all seems fair and good. The usual daily wage, which would have been enough to supply a family with 3 to 6 days of food. Not exorbitant, but fair. Then things get a little more complicated. The boss goes back at 9 for some more workers. So, you know, maybe there was more to do than he thought. As he takes them to the vineyard, all we hear is that he will pay them what is right. The terms are not spelled out with him in the same way as it was with the early workers. We start to wonder when the boss comes back 2 more times at 9 and at 3. Maybe he's clueless. You would think he would have had a better idea about what he needed. And he sure is spending a lot of his time going back and forth between the vineyard and the marketplace. Well, it gets to be 5 o'clock, and the boss comes back again. It makes no sense. It looks like he ends up hiring everybody who is left. Now, since we've all grown up with the horrible gym class process of picking teams, our assumption is that those who are still hanging around unhired at 5 o'clock are likely the most undesirable workers. Maybe they look like they could work very hard. Maybe they played around all day and were late getting to that marketplace. Those are the assumptions we make. But that's not what it says in the story. When the boss asks why they've been standing around all day, their response is simply, "Nobody's hired us." At least from what we're told, there are no qualifications that separate those who were hired first and those who were hired last. All we're told is that all of them wanted to work. So these 5 o'clock workers are also taken to the vineyard where they have time to put in exactly 1 hour. And then things get really crazy. When it comes time for everybody to get paid, those 1 hour workers receive their pay first, and can you believe it? They receive the usual daily wage for 1 hour. Every worker who comes, regardless of how many hours they put in, get that same usual daily wage. Which perhaps understandably makes those first hired workers, the ones that have put in probably 12 hours of hard labor, pretty upset. When they saw what had been given to these earlier workers, these later workers, they probably got excited. They figured they would get even more. But no, they were treated exactly the same. So would you consider this boss to be a good boss or a bad boss? I guess it depends on the shoes you're standing in. Usually when we hear this story, we pretty quickly, at least I do, put ourselves in the shoes of those first hired workers, because that's how we consider ourselves. We're the ones we put in our time. We give our full effort. above and beyond whatever the task is that's set before us, and we expect to get rewarded. If we're honest with ourselves, we are not necessarily interested in what's fair. We want more. We feel like we deserve more. We crave that recognition. I feel a description of this where we are as being people who want judgment when it comes to looking at the sins and weaknesses of others, but we want mercy for ourselves. And that's why we're so quick to identify with these grumbling, thirst-tired workers. We get their beef. It doesn't seem fair. I don't know if this is a boss I would like. But what if we were to put ourselves in some different shoes? Think about how you would feel if you were one of those later hired workers, especially one that wasn't hired until the end of the day. Here you are. You've been standing at that marketplace all day. You are ready to work. You want to work. You need to work. Perhaps you are desperate to work. And all of those hours you've been watching the people around you get picked. And with every hour that passes and with every opportunity you're left out of, your spirit begins to fall. And you become more and more discouraged, and you feel smaller and smaller. Maybe you get more and more anxious as you think about your family at home. What are you going to have to offer to your children when they're hungry? Would you be able to come up with next month's rent? Would the power be shut off? And then imagine this man comes along. It's 5 o'clock. You've pretty much given up all hope for the day. And he offers you a job. You figure it won't be much, but at least it's something. And you go. And as you're standing in line to receive your pay, you're handed a check that is the usual daily wage. And imagine the joy, the smile on your face as you go home to your family, what it would mean for your sense of hope and possibility for the days ahead. And imagine how you would feel about that boss. What an incredible boss. Angel Levine offers the challenge that perhaps the story is less about the workers and more about the boss. We label it pretty simply as the laborers in the vineyard, but maybe a more fitting description would be the parable of the complaining day laborers or the parable of the surprising salaries. The challenge for these workers is the boss. And yet in this story, when those first hired workers register their complaint, it is the boss who pretty quickly puts them in their place. Friend, he calls them. And Joe Levine reminds us that the term friend is used 3 times in Matthew in this kind of ironic and jabbing way. There's the friend that comes to the wedding banquet without being properly dressed, and the host wants to know how he got in. And Jesus calls Judas his friend at the moment he comes to betray him. Friend, do what you have to do. The boss gives those workers a talking to. He reminds them he's done nothing wrong to them. He's paid them exactly what was agreed upon, and they have received exactly what was agreed upon. And it was the usual daily wage, which was considered a fair wage, that would provide enough for their families to be able to eat. And then he describes the kind of boss he is. He's the kind of boss that chooses to make sure that everyone who wants to get work gets enough to feed their families. He chooses to keep going back to make sure nobody's left out. He God chooses to treat each worker with the same dignity and recognition. He chooses to be generous. And they're accusing him of being a bad boss. Sometimes when this story is talked about and interpreted, it's talked about as a salvation story. I'm sure you've heard that description. In the story, we see that the person who was saved at an early age, who spent their whole life seeking to follow Jesus and do what is right, is treated the very same as the person who accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior on his deathbed. It doesn't seem fair, since we're usually the ones who put ourselves in the shoes of those who have tried to be good our whole lives, but we are glad to know there is always hope. But maybe, if I want to think more about this boss and look more about how we might model our lives after this boss, maybe we really do need to look at the economic pieces of this story. Maybe we need to explore things we can do to make it possible for everyone to have a chance to earn a living wage, because it does make a real difference in how we feel about ourselves and about the stress and the worry that we carry in our lives. Those of us who earn enough to live on know what that means. And those of us who don't earn enough to live on know what that means as well. Maybe we think we can easily put ourselves in the shoes of the first hired workers in this story, but there are a lot of people who do work extended hours, who do toil away at hard labor, who do struggle to balance multiple jobs with little benefits, who perhaps have a reason to grumble. We may see others who don't work as many hours and who are very secure in their benefits and who don't have to worry every day whether they're going to have enough to feed their family, or enough to keep the lights on, or enough to keep the car working, or enough to keep them from being kicked out on the street. We've always been very quick to put ourselves in the shoes of the workers, to focus on the workers as the one who bring the message for the story. But maybe we need to look more closely at the boss. And not just because it's easy for us to think about the boss as God, and not just because we do need to hear stories about a God who is full of mercy and grace, especially when we need that in our lives, especially when we are like those 5 o'clock workers who are feeling pretty low about themselves and who are anxious about their future. Maybe we need to look more closely at the boss, because maybe Jesus is telling this story so that we'll think a little more carefully about the kind of boss we should aspire to be. We may not feel like a boss, but each and every one of us has responsibilities, authority, opportunities to help others. The boss in this story need not only be a reference. Levine reminds us, for what God does is often what those who claim to follow God should also do. So maybe that means we should be the kind of people who focus on making it possible, in whatever ways we can, for everyone to have enough to feed their families. The point of what the boss is doing is not that those who have get more. The point is that those who have not get enough. Let us pray. Gracious God, each of us does know what it means to have an impact on others. There's people we get the opportunity to mentor, to teach. Children and grandchildren who make their way through our lives, that we have an opportunity to help them know about life lessons. Each of us is a boss in one way or another. help us to be the kind of boss that is modeled in this story. A boss that is generous, that wants to make sure every person feels valued and is treated with dignity, and that wants to help every person find their place to serve you and serve our world and our community. And help us just ponder what that might mean for our own life and how we go about it.